We're coming this evening to the end of this section in Ephesians, which deals with the armor of God, putting on the whole armor of God. From verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. When we read about prayer, there are a few subjects in the Bible that are more daunting. We feel like nursery children in the school of prayer. And often we are humbled when we think about our prayer lives, whether that's individually or as a church. But as we dig into this text, there are things tonight that can help us. So my prayer is that there'll be a mix of conviction where that's needed. We all need to be spurred on in this area of prayer. But it's not just a guilt trip, that we'll have a sense of privilege, that we can come to the great God of heaven as we pray, and that we'll find in these verses fresh motivation to pray, to seek God, to pursue the Lord with a whole heart. So I want to look at the need of prayer, the scope of prayer, and the way of prayer. So first of all, the need of prayer. There are lots of reasons why we need prayer, and we could do a whole series of sermons on the various reasons why we need to pray. I mentioned this book, The Christian in Complete Armour, William Gurnall. I was looking at it this afternoon. It's very small print. He has 300 pages on praying in the Spirit. So I'm doing one sermon. He did 300 pages. But he deals with it very extensively. I'm going to limit myself this evening to the reasons that are explicitly here in the text, the need of prayer, because as we understand our need of prayer in that context of Christian warfare, the spiritual battle Paul has been speaking about, in the immediate context of these verses, there are three reasons why we need to pray. First of all, we need to pray in order to stand against the devil. We see that in verses 11 and 12. Put on the whole armour of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. There are schemes of Satan. He accuses us, he tempts us, he deceives us. We need to take up the whole armour of God to withstand in the evil day. But how do we put that armour on? Well, Paul says, we put the armour on through prayer. In this spiritual warfare, then, there are enemies. We've sung about the need to watch and pray because there are many foes, many enemies. In that sense, we live in enemy-occupied territory because we are engaged in a spiritual battle. So the only way we keep going, we stand, is through prayer. I think it's true to say that to the degree we draw near to God, to that degree the devil flees from us. To the degree that we are at a distance from God, to that degree Satan and our spiritual enemies draw dangerously near. So in James chapter 4, verses 7 to 8, those two things are put together. James chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, James says, submit to God, resist the devil and he will flee from you, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. So these two things are put together, submitting to God, drawing near to God, as compared with resisting the devil and him fleeing from us. As we submit to God, as we draw near to God, the devil flees. But if we're dangerously far from God, and if we cease praying, the dangers increase, increase, increase. So prayer is the way we tap into God's protection, God's strength and God's power to resist and to stand against the devil. Samuel Chadwick said that one of the chief concerns of the devil is to keep Christians from praying. That the devil fears nothing from prayerless study, fears nothing from prayerless work, and fears nothing from prayerless religion. The devil laughs at our toil, he mocks at our wisdom, but he trembles when we pray. So if we find ourselves getting tripped up by the evil one in that battle against sin and the world and the devil, let's be careful there's not a deficiency in this vital area of prayer. If you want to stand against the evil one, Paul says, we must pray. So that's the first reason. The second reason we need to pray then is to put on the whole armour of God, that connection between verses 17 and 18. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And as you take the helmet, as you take the sword of the Spirit, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. So the word take in verse 17, take the helmet of salvation, take the sword of the Spirit, is linked to praying. As we take the helmet of salvation, as we take the sword of the Spirit, we are praying. The way in which we put on the armour of God is through prayer, which is why the hymn puts it like that. Put on the gospel armour, each piece put on with prayer. We arm ourselves with the armour of God through prayer. If we cease praying, we won't put the armour of God on. We become vulnerable. We'll cease to be authentic. We'll cease to know the peace of God in our hearts. We will lose our hope. Pray, said the hymn, as if on that alone hangs the issue of the day. So prayer is important to stand, to put on the gospel armour. Some of you may even have an automatic watch. A watch that doesn't run on a battery, but which runs on the movement in your hand and arm and wrist as you wear the watch. Now, if you have an automatic watch, you must wear it in order for it to keep time. If you don't wear the watch, if you go 2 or 3 days without wearing that watch, if it's an automatic watch, it will lose time. Because the watch has that movement in it. It needs the movement of your wrist to keep time. That's why wealthy people who collect expensive watches, apparently if they have automatic watches, they have machines that wiggle back and forth so that even though the person isn't wearing the watch, the machine is moving so the watch keeps time. And they do it because the only way the automatic watch will keep time is if it's in motion. Well, I would suggest to you that prayer to the armour of God is as movement to the automatic watch. It's as we keep praying that we put on the gospel armour, that we're able to resist and stand against the wiles, the schemes of the devil. It's that constant motion of the soul, prayer, that keeps us in God's ways as we put on the gospel armour. Then thirdly, we need to pray in order to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, Ephesians 6 verse 10. And that's the exhortation that frames the whole section we've been looking at. The exhortation, don't rely on yourself, rely on the Lord. Don't trust in yourself, trust in the Lord. Don't try to be strong in your own strength, be strong in God's strength. Now, how are we going to do all that? We do that through prayer. Prayer is the Christian's declaration of dependence upon God. Unbelief is a declaration of independence. I don't need God. I'm going to live as I like. Prayer is a declaration of dependence upon God. The way you know you really believe the promises of God is that you pray them. The way you know you really trust in Jesus Christ is that you seek him, you pray. Prayer is that appeal to God then. It's not independence, it's dependence. In our dependence, we cry out to God for his omnipotence, his almighty power, that God will stoop down and meet us in our weakness and need. So the way we are strong in the strength that God supplies is through prayer. So if we're without prayer, we'll cease to be strong. If we're not seeking God for his strength, then it shouldn't surprise us that we'll fall into temptation. We'll be wounded in battle. We'll have low levels of hope and holiness. So the first thing this passage does, it convicts us. It shows the folly of independence and self-sufficiency and pride if we're trying to do it in our own for salvation or for the Christian life. No, we need to pray to God. We need to cry out to him. Someone who's not a Christian cries out, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. But day by day, Christians express their dependence upon God to pray, the need of prayer then. That's the first thing. Secondly, the scope of prayer. The need of prayer, the scope of prayer. The weapon of all prayers, it's been called. And you'll notice in the verses we read, there's once the word always, and then three alls. Ephesians 6, verse 18. Praying always, there's the word always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So always, all. So we're to pray always. Constant prayer, devotion to prayer. That's the theme of the Bible. Romans 12, verse 12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Colossians 4, verse 2, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. 1 Thessalonians 5, 17, pray without ceasing. Now, that doesn't mean we are always on our knees. It doesn't even mean that we're always consciously talking to God in our minds. Paul knows that's not going to be the case with any of us. But the idea is that we're in such frequent touch with the Lord that our hearts are characterized by an ongoing devotion to prayer. We are regularly praying. There's an ongoing, through the day, dialogue between the soul and the Lord. You have a what we would call a Godward heart. Your posture is dependence. So when you wake up in the morning, you wake with that sense of dependence upon the Lord for the day ahead. As you're getting ready for the day ahead, you're bringing your concerns, your burdens with thanksgiving, you're bringing them to the Lord. You approach the day, you're dependent upon the Lord. And then you're working and interacting with people through the day. And all through the day, at various times, you sense a need of wisdom from God. You shoot up an arrow prayer to the Lord. Praying always, praying through the day. Praying always means also praying in good times and in bad times. We pray in prosperity and we're praying in adversity. We're praying when we're healthy and we're praying when we're sick. We're not neglecting prayer in all the different aspects of life. Prayer has helpfully been likened to our breathing in and breathing out. Prayer is spiritual breathing. Now, we don't consciously focus on breathing in and out through the day, but we are consciously breathing. We're inhaling and we're exhaling, inhaling, exhaling, and we do that spiritually. We confess our sins. We confess our needs. We pray that the Lord will not lead us into temptation and keep us from things that are harmful and sinful. We breathe in the grace of God. We breathe in the need of God's gracious Holy Spirit through the day. We breathe in our reliance on God for his mercy and grace and power and help. Praying always. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. So there are three alls. All the different forms of prayer. All the different methods of prayer. All the different aspects of prayer. You may know that little helpful way of thinking about prayer by using the word ACTS. A-C-T-S. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. There are different aspects to prayer that are characteristic of our lives. We're expressing acts, adoration to God. We're praising him. We're worshipping him. We're remembering who he is, the great God of salvation. But then AC, acts. C, we're also confessing. We're confessing our sins. We're confessing our need, our dependence upon him. And then T, acts, A-C-T-S, thanks, we're giving our thanksgiving to God, praying with thanksgiving. And then S, supplication, we're bringing our requests, our petitions, our supplications to God. So prayer, coming to God in that way, is like a conversation. We're sending up a thought to him. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, a request. And then we have scheduled times where we are seeking God more intently. That's why as a church, for example, on a Thursday evening, we have a particular time for a prayer meeting. Praying always in that ongoing way, but then with particular seasons of coming together to pray. Praying with all kinds of prayer. Praying with all perseverance. That's another all. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance. Jesus told the disciples a parable that they ought always to pray and not give up. It's this idea of always praying, persevering praying. Don't give up. Jesus told the parable of the widow and the unjust judge, and the widow kept coming to the judge to present her case to the judge. Now, the judge is an unjust judge. He doesn't even want to hear her. He doesn't want to bother with her. But because of her importunity, she keeps knocking at his door. And in the end, the unjust judge relents and he answers her request. And Jesus says, how much more will God, your heavenly Father, hear your prayers? So pray with perseverance. Don't give up. And then the third all, for all the saints, for all believers. We're praying not only for ourselves, we're praying for others. Now, if I was to say most Christians pray sometimes with some prayers and some degree of perseverance for some of God's people, that's not what Paul is saying. Paul is saying we're to pray at all times, with all perseverance, with all kinds of prayer for all the saints. So we should be men and women who pray. And here's a good way to pray and to think about it in sense of concentric circles, like when you drop a stone in a pond and there are circles of water that ripple out. So you pray, you drop that stone in the water, you pray for yourself and your family. And use that acts, if you like. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. And then there's a wider circle. Pray for the church. Pray for ministries of the church. Paul says here to the Ephesians, pray for me, doesn't he, in verse 19. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So pray for the leaders of the church. Pray for the needs of the church. Pray for these Easter leaflets that are being distributed. Pray for other members of the church. Get hold of a membership list. Pray through those names. Then there's a wider circle. Pray for the community. Pray for this area of London. Pray for the needs around us. Pray for other churches that preach the gospel. Then go out a bit wider. A wider circle again. Pray for London. Pray for the nation. Pray for our national leaders. You can go out wider. Pray for the nations of the world. Get hold of a book like Operation World. You see how the circles will ripple out and out. Supplication for all the saints, says Paul. The scope of prayer. So the need of prayer, the scope of prayer, and then thirdly, the way of prayer. As we're challenged about this area of prayer, we can feel a sense of inadequacy. And sometimes that's right. We need to be convicted of prayerlessness. But more than that, to grasp how amazing this privilege is, that we can come to the great God of heaven and understand there is a way of prayer. We know there are wrong ways to pray. The Lord Jesus Christ talked about those who think they will be heard for their much speaking and their vain repetition. Those who pray to be seen and heard by others. So if you have a particular time where you meet with God in private prayer and fasting, don't put it on Facebook. If you do that, you're going against what the Lord Jesus Christ said how we should pray. Pray in secret, seeking the Father's face, not seeking the praise of others. There's a way of prayer that was self-reliant, like the Pharisee in Luke chapter 18, who prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men. But here the Lord is speaking about, and Paul is speaking about, the Christian way of prayer. And there are features right here, which again can encourage us and help us. The way of prayer is spirit-given, spirit-directed, spirit-empowered. Verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit. What does Paul mean by that, praying in the Spirit? Well, he does not mean praying in tongues. I mention that because that's what some people think, but it cannot mean that because Paul says here, praying always in the Spirit. And Paul certainly is not saying you should be praying in tongues all the time. But he is saying all our praying is to be in the Spirit. Paul is talking about prayer empowered by the Holy Spirit. Praying with a dependence on the Holy Spirit. Praying with that sense of the Holy Spirit helping you with your prayers. That you're praying in a way that's consistent with God's kingdom and word and will. Praying in the Spirit means praying from the heart. Not putting together just mere words for effect, but empowered by the Holy Spirit. Now, in this letter already, in Ephesians 2, verse 18, the Apostle Paul has spoken that through the Spirit, we have access by one Spirit to the Father, through our Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is the one who brings us into the presence of God. So pray in the Spirit, Jude, verse 20. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Now we know, if you're a Christian, everything that we do for God must be done in the power of the Spirit. This is one of the great gifts of the new covenant, the forgiveness of sins, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. So if you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit put into your heart to know God, to love God, to walk with God, to trust Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit then working in you to make you more and more like Jesus Christ, God's Son. So everything in the Christian life that's good and honouring to God is done in the power of the Spirit. So we live in the Spirit. We're to walk in the Spirit. We're to bear the fruit of the Spirit. We're to sing in the Spirit. We're to be united with one another in the unity of the Spirit, in the bond of peace. So our prayer lives must be enabled by the Holy Spirit. And there are times when we don't know what to pray, and we take consolation from Romans 8, which tells us that the Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The Spirit fills our hearts and searches our hearts and enables us to bring our hearts to God even when we cannot speak the words. The Holy Spirit helps us. And if you don't know where to start when you pray, you can pray and start by praying, Father, empower me by your Holy Spirit. So Paul speaks in Ephesians about the work of the Spirit in these areas. In Ephesians 3, Paul is praying that the Ephesians will be strengthened with might through the Spirit in the inner man, that Christ might dwell in their hearts by faith. In Ephesians 5, verse 18, he tells us to be filled with the Spirit. So we need the Holy Spirit. We need to pray for the Spirit. We need to pray always in the Spirit. And this involves watchful, persevering prayer. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance. That hymn we sang spoke of this need for watchfulness, being vigilant, being alert. Christian, seek not yet repose. Don't go to sleep in the Christian life. Cast your dreams of ease away. You are in the midst of foes. And then this theme that Charlotte Elliot repeats again and again, watch and pray. Watch and pray, watch and pray. There are principalities and powers. Put your heavenly armour on. Remember those who have gone before. Hear the victors who have overcome. Watch and pray. Above all, hear your Lord. Look to Jesus Christ. Watch and pray. Hide within your heart his word. Watch and pray. And then this challenging verse, watch as if on that alone hung the issue of the day. Now we know God is sovereign. God is working out his powers, his plans and his purposes. But she's saying, watch as if on that alone hung the issue of the day. Pray that help may be sent down. Watch and pray. So watchfulness is a spiritual discipline that keeps you sharp before God. Watchfulness has been likened to a whetstone. How you sharpen the blade of a knife. If you have a whetstone, you can sharpen the blade of a knife on a whetstone. Well, watchfulness is like a whetstone to the other spiritual disciplines. Watch and pray because of temptation. Watch and pray because there's an enemy. Watch and pray because you know your own frailty in your heart. Watch and pray because you know the seductive voices of this world. There's this adversary, says the Bible, like a roaring lion, the devil. He prowls around seeking whom he may devour. Watch and pray. So you watch because you need to watch what's going on in your own heart. We're watching our hearts. We're careful about our hearts. But above all, it means we're watching to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're looking to Jesus Christ himself. Be alert then, spiritually. Recognize there are dangers. There are threats against us. You need to watch and pray. I need to watch and pray. Paul says, pray with watchfulness then. Take care of your heart. Be vigilant. Watchful, persevering prayer means gospel prayer. By that I mean prayer that's based on the gospel. Prayer that's motivated by the gospel. Paul tells the Ephesians that Jesus Christ is our peace, and through his blood shed on the cross, Jesus has removed the enmity, the hostility between us and God. Through the Lord Jesus, then, we have access to God in one spirit. This remarkable encouragement in chapter 3, verse 12, that in Christ Jesus, our Lord, we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we have boldness to come to God. We have access to come to God. We have confidence to come to God through faith in Jesus Christ. There is boldness. There is honest frankness. Honest frankness in the presence of God. You can unveil your heart in the presence of God, frankly, openly. And not only that, there's access. None of us here have access to Buckingham Palace. If we were to try and go up to Buckingham Palace tonight and say, I want access to royalty, no entry. You won't be allowed in. But the Bible says you do have access to a greater king, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Access to God, the creator of the universe. Access to the sovereign ruler of the skies. Access to the God who is above all. The Holy God gives us access into his presence. And that through Jesus Christ. Because of the gospel. Because the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed you from sin. Because this Holy Spirit indwells your heart. You can come into the presence of God with boldness. It's an amazing privilege. You have access to God. As if the Apostle Paul heaps up these privileges. Boldness, access and confidence as well. A hopeful confidence that you can expect to be heard when you come to God. It means we can come into the presence of God, we can speak what's on our heart, we can come with boldness, we have access, and we can have this hopeful confidence. God will listen. God will hear. God will not turn us away. His ear will be open to our cry. And all that through the gospel, only through the Lord Jesus Christ. So our prayer life individually and as families and as a church gives an encouragement to help us to put this into practice in our lives. A deeper prayer life, a deeper watchfulness. We have access and boldness and confidence to come to God. And Paul is saying we cannot be too prayerful and we cannot be too watchful. We need to put those two things together, watch and pray, pray and watch. We're in this spiritual battle. There are foes, there are enemies. We need the gospel armor. We need to be pursuing holiness. So let's watch and pray. Let's do that individually. Let's watch and pray together. And by the Spirit's directing and by the Spirit's power, let's find new joy and delight as we live out God's word, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And we can come to God with boldness, with access, with confidence. So let's come now, let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for this amazing privilege that belongs to the Christian believer. That we can come boldly to the throne of God. We come boldly because we come wholly relying upon our Lord Jesus Christ alone. And because of him, we have access. That hostility by which we were barred, we were kept away from God. Our sins condemned us. But the enmity has been removed by our Lord Jesus Christ through his life, death, and resurrection. So there is boldness and access and even confidence. That we can come confidently that one ear, God's ear, is open to our cry and he will not turn us away. We can come to our Father in heaven. And so, Lord, teach us all what it means to watch and pray, praying always in the Spirit. Lord, help us. We come in dependence upon you afresh. Hear us tonight, for we come in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we're going to sing a closing hymn that puts these two things together about prayer and the work of the Holy Spirit from the Praise Hymn Book. And we're going to stand and sing, "The Spirit Came as Promised." So we'll stand to sing. Let's pray together then. Let's all pray. And now may grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit rest and remain with each one of you and with all God's people, and not only tonight, but even forevermore, world without end. Amen.